Dr. Mark Malone from Advanced Pain Care on how the spinal cord stimulator blocks pain signals, bringing patients relief at last.
And we're able to tune this device to mimic that frequency and essentially block it. I've seen people shed tears of joy in the recovery room when they wake up from their light anesthesia and we turn this device on and they realize their back pain is gone. They cry for joy.
Advanced Pain Care at 512-244-4272. Or AustinPainDoctor.com.
They're live, local, and talking about the stories that matter to you. Share your opinions with Mark and Melinda at 512-836-0590. Now, here are Mark and Melinda.
503, thank you for joining us. We're here 2 to 6, live and local every weekday. Trey is here producing. One of the stories we're discussing is the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments today on the case of former President Donald Trump. His attorneys are trying to convince the U.S. Supreme Court that presidents should have immunity from criminal prosecution after leaving office for official acts that they carried out while in office. This is a big one, and Janet wants to weigh in from 290 at 504. Hello, Janet. How are you today?
I'm good, but I'm so confused because I taught 8th grade history for 10 years. And I'm wondering if these politicians and lawyers graduated middle school, because Trump cannot become a dictator. We have separation of powers and a way to impeach him, just as y'all were saying earlier. And if we set this precedent, everybody from Thomas Jefferson to Kennedy, there were multiple situations. If we go back and actually read our history books, almost every couple of presidents could have been prosecuted when they left. There's, I mean, so many instances where situations came up where the country changed its mind on how things should run, but they could have been prosecuted. Like, no one would want to be president. I know they're freaking out about, I don't even know where someone came up with the idea that he could be a dictator. Whether you hate him or love him, we have a constitution, and if we just read it and follow it, but I mean, we could also prosecute Biden, couldn't we? Look at the things he's done. He's ignoring the Supreme Court's ruling on the college tuition. Andrew Jackson ignored the Supreme Court's decision on removing the, creating an Indian nation and kicking all the Native Americans out of Georgia. I mean, he could have been prosecuted.
Yes, those examples are brought up in these hearings, and you're right. And when it comes to Biden, after he leaves offices, what's to stop red state attorney generals from going after him and prosecuting him on a number of reasons?
You could never be safe. You could never be safe for being prosecuted. And there are decisions that they make that are more global than the average American can anticipate at the time it's happening.
Key points there, Janet. Thank you for weighing in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Janet. So the only arguments that were made for saying don't grant full immunity was the hypotheticals?
That seemed to be the case, yes. Justice Brown Jackson, for example, saying it could turn the Oval Office into the seat of criminal activity in this country. Like the Gambino crime family home base right there in the Oval Office. That's the image I get when she says that would be the seat of criminal activity in the country. You would have a president who could do whatever he wants, knowing he would not ever face criminal prosecution.
To me, that's not much of an argument saying, okay, there's a bunch of hypotheticals to which we would need to be able to prosecute. That's not much of an argument to go, oh, okay, well, then you've convinced me, and you're right. No one gets immunity from here on out.
Now, presidents already enjoy immunity from civil lawsuits after they leave office for acts committed officially as the president. The U.S. Supreme Court decided that in the early 1980s. They have also decided over the years that prosecutors have immunity, judges have immunity, and members of Congress have immunity.
So are they willing to go back and revisit all of that and strike it as well?
I don't think so. I don't think Justice Roberts wants to go anywhere near that kind of a ruling.
But I think that that's what's the problem with why this even ended up in front of the Supreme Court. When you look at the overall picture and you point out all the things that you just pointed out or any of these justices that were asking questions, it becomes this is about one man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Donald Trump. Let's go to Andrew in Hutto, 508 with Mark and Melinda. Good afternoon, Andrew. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good. Enjoying the weather. It's not too bad out. My thoughts on this whole thing, though, is if they do rule against Trump, then he doesn't have immunity. I can see him doing that just to get after him, because what's to stop any future or even current president from, at the end of their term, I pardon myself from all actions taken during my term.
Say that last part again. It broke up a little bit. Repeat that last part, please.
What's to stop any of the future presidents or current presidents from pardoning themselves from all actions during their term at the end of their term?
Now, it might come to that. I mean, we're getting into some really wild hypotheticals here.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, all of this is just based on hypotheticals. You have a case that is being heard in front of the Supreme Court based on hypotheticals. Usually you have to cite case law as a reason as to, or the Constitution as a reason as to why you're hearing a case.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Pat at 509, Mark and Melinda. Pat, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's me. I'm a lady.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pat. Welcome. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to comment about the current president. It has been investigated and questions asked about very nefarious criminal things. And so did the Supreme Court Justice, was it Jackson Brown, you said, kind of create a hypothetical that there, what if someone in the presidential office was, that would be a seedbed for criminal activity. Well, would I be correct in thinking that the current president is doing such things? Is she?
Well, the question has entered the mind of a number of Americans when you think about what he has been accused of doing while he was vice president, the years after the vice presidency, leading up to the presidency, whether it's deals with China or Ukraine, et cetera. I think some people have that question in their mind, Pat.
So do you know if the Justice Brown Jackson was asked by Trump's lawyer? Do you mean like what might be going on right now, Justice Brown?
Yeah, I don't think Trump's lawyer did that. They usually refrain from really hitting back hard on justices. They're highly respectful of them. The justices don't hold back anything. They tear into people mm-hmm. when they want to.
I guess I was thinking if they could do it in a really sweet and polite way. and respectful way.
Just to make the point, right?
Exactly. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well,
thank you, Pat.
Lord be with us. Thank you.
Have a good one. All right. Have a good evening. 512-836-0590. The Supreme Court added a day to their term so they could hear the arguments in this case. And they are going to go behind closed doors tomorrow and vote on how they want to rule. And then after the vote, they will start writing the opinion. Their staff will start doing all the work of actually writing it.
I think it was very smart. Didn't you say it was Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, that said, okay, we can't look at this simply through the lens of does Trump have immunity? We have to look at it through the lens as in however we rule
yes.
sets it up for any president in the future.
Mm-hmm. Here's what he said. I'm not focused on the here and now. I'm focused on the future and how this court's decision could impose limits on presidential discretion. That's Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
I hope that that at least gave all the justices there on the bench, you know, something to think about. It's not just this case, this particular case. It is setting it up for the future.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal puts it this way. The Supreme Court's conservative majority expressed sympathy for Trump's lawyers' argument that future presidents might be paralyzed into inaction by the potential of prosecution after leaving office for bold decisions they think are in America's best interests. Mm-hmm. And the next line is, we as citizens don't want that. We need them
to be able to make those decisions and not second-guess themselves.
Yes. All right. We'll work in more of your comments. Coming up just ahead, it's 512-836-0590. Mark and Melinda on KLBJ.
They're live, local, and talking about the stories that matter to you. Share your opinions with Mark and Melinda at 512-836-0590. Now, here are Mark and Melinda.
Trey's here producing. We hope you're having an excellent afternoon. Thanks a lot for joining us. We go to Hank at 516. How are you this afternoon, Hank?
Real good, real good. Yeah.
Welcome aboard. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, my comments basically from a legal perspective is that we do have to argue about the case with reference to the man himself. Basically, if the Supreme Court comes out with total immunity, then when he takes precedence this next term, if that's the case, pretty much he's going to be able to do any dang thing he wants to do.
You don't think Congress would step in and try to impeach him for the 20th time?
Well, there's a potential for that, but at the same time, I mean, you have to argue that he is president and he's going to have control over a vast majority of our infrastructure.
So, Hank, if you were one of the votes on the Supreme Court, you would vote no for blanket immunity for any president?
Basically, I would have to establish some type of parameters, okay? I know we have some already. I mean, he can't kill anybody down Main Street kind of thing, and because we have other laws. And again, the argument when it comes to new laws is that we already have laws on the books. The question becomes whether they're going to be prosecuted, and that's a key concept. But this concept of unlimited immunity or blanket immunity, oh, man, that's just fraught with peril.
Now, the president has immunity from civil lawsuits after leaving office. That's already been established by the Supreme Court. Would you repeal that as well?
Again, depending on the case situation, yeah. I mean, he's got to be subject. I mean, presidents of any type of business, again, government is just another business.
What about the argument? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my point, basically. They're subject to limitations, whether it be criminal or civil.
Well, what about the argument about they need to be able to make decisions and not be second-guessing themselves or worried that if they make that decision that they're going to be prosecuted for it once they get out of office?
Well, they're not living in a vacuum. I mean, basically the concept is that when they make decisions, that those decisions have to be legal and lawful.
All right, Hank, thank you. Good to hear from you, sir. We hope you have a nice evening. 512-836-0590 to weigh in. Regina is on MOPAC with Mark and Melinda. How are you today, Regina?
I'm fine, thanks. I hope y'all are doing well as too.
Yes,
I just wanted to make a comment about this Supreme Court decision coming. Would we want to have given Richard Nixon blanket immunity?
In what respect?
Civil or criminal?
He did not have criminal. He did not have blanket immunity as far as criminal prosecution. And in fact, resigned in disgrace because of his criminal behavior and then was pardoned by Gerald Ford. That's the only reason he wasn't criminally prosecuted. And I think the same thing needs to hold true for each president. No one is above the law. And to Hank's comment, Trump has said that he could murder and get away with it. And if we give him blanket immunity, I expect to see him murder.
Regina, the House has the constitutional power to impeach and the Senate to remove any president for high crimes and misdemeanors. That's the process to deal with it.
that is one process. The other process is for a district attorney to bring criminal charges if our our Congress or Senate does not act. That's part of our checks and balances. And there is again no one above the law, no one at all. As far as criminal or civil liability, I agree. There would be too many lawsuits for civil liability for individual lives or property loss. But if you cannot make lawful decisions as president, then you should not be president.
Some are asking, you mentioned district attorneys. So if a district attorney in a county here in Texas were to indict Biden after he leaves office on a criminal charge, would you endorse that process?
If the district attorney has a prima facie case to indict a former president on a criminal charge, then yes, I would support the case.
All right.
Well, hold on, Regina. One of the other cases that keeps coming up is the drone strike that was ordered by President Obama that killed an innocent U.S. citizen. Is it okay to go after him, to prosecute him for murder?
That is a wartime decision, a national security decision. That is not a criminal decision.
All right. Thank you, Regina. Have a good evening. Appreciate the call. 512-836-0590. Let's go to Andy in Lockhart at 522. Andy, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I hope that the Supreme Court comes back 9-0 in defense of the presidency of the United States. Unlike other branches of government where other people are involved in the operation of that branch, the judicial branch is full of justices and the legislature is full of lawmakers and representatives and senators. But unlike any of those two things, the presidency is a man. A man. And he is responsible for the execution of the laws written by the Congress of this country. And he has to have immunity. Every president has already exercised, been given immunity from all kinds of other behaviors, all of them. The only thing that should have happened to Donald Trump did happen to him. He was impeached, and he was acquitted. So I hope that the court comes back and says, you are no longer going to weaponize the DOJ as an arm for you to diminish the abilities of your political foes. This is not going to happen.
And are you speaking? Are you speaking focused only on Trump, or are you saying we need this for all future presidents as well?
For all future presidents. I mean, we've just gone down a litany of what do we dare? Try Barack Obama? I mean, a court can do that, and our court is legitimizing these claims. Just think of what is happening right now. The evidence of January 6th is not even being considered. They're saying, no, Trump did not mean what he said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this DOJ is saying the evidence of record is this: what Donald Trump said, go peacefully and protest. Oh, but he didn't mean that.
Yeah,
he did not mean it. So the evidence that is there is being rejected, and they're allowed at this point in time to say what he did not mean because he really meant something else that was not said. Who was really in charge of the security at the Capitol? It was Nancy Pelosi. Did Donald Trump do anything to support her in that defense? Oh, yes, he did. He made National Guard troops available. So now we got two pieces of evidence that really Donald Trump didn't mean, he really didn't mean it, but he made it available, but he really wanted a riot.
All right, Andy, thank you. Have a good evening. Were you going to make a point there, Melinda?
No, Andy did very good.
All right, let's go to Daniel in Southeast Austin. Hey, Daniel, how are you today?
Hey, guys, I know we're running up against the clock, but congratulations on having, like, a fantastic call topic for you guys today. I know that you got the phones buzzing off the hook. So,
well, Daniel, I appreciate that you know our clock.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and be really quick. The first small point is I'm a little concerned that as a nation we're putting so much stock in the Supreme Court, a 9 unelected body, and how much power they have right here. I believe the Supreme Court has usurped way more power than they have. That being set aside, I'm not too terribly concerned about the exact ruling that comes out. I would be more concerned about us as an American people or Congress taking a look at that and saying, well, what should happen and what laws and regulations should we put in place? Because I think we should have some type of immunity to where the president is really not blanket immunity and total immunity, but like it's very limited as to who can bring a case up against a president either while sitting, like the Constitution clearly lays out, or after sitting for things that happened while they were sitting. I would argue that if it's not already clear in the Constitution that we should, by statute, by law, have Congress say that anything that happens while a sitting president and after has to go through the same process of a federal prosecutor vetted by Congress through an impeachment type process. That would be my argument, that if it's not already that way, then maybe we should make it that way instead of letting an unelected body determine what we should do, whether the law is ambiguous on it or not.
Daniel, thank you. Have a great evening. We've got news next and much more to cover with you. The numbers are 512-836-0590. It's Mark and Melinda.
And now back to the Mark and Melinda Show. Join the conversation at 512-836-0590.
Trey's here producing. Tiger is with us as well. We hope you're having an excellent evening. If you're just joining us, we are discussing the U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments today on the former President Trump case, where he is saying that presidents should have immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts while in office. They went 3.5 hours on this one today. The Wall Street Journal says, the headline reads, Supreme Court appears open to some of Trump's immunity claims. You've seen other headlines that give a very different perspective on that, Melinda.
Well, it was earlier in the arguments when they said the justices seemed pretty skeptical of Trump's lawyers and their claims. And I'm seeing now the Washington Times saying that it doesn't appear the court is willing to grant absolute immunity. What the justices may do is give the president's immunity for official acts, but set the test for the lower courts to use when deciding what is and isn't an official act.
Okay. And what was the headline you just saw in Politico.com?
The headline reads, What We Learned from Trump's Surprisingly Good Day at the Supreme Court.
So Politico was expecting him to have a bad day at the Supreme Court.
Yeah. They listed about 5 takeaways from the arguments. Their first one, Trump could win by losing. And I think that that is the delay. If they do send it back to the lower courts, then it would be a delay, which they're saying would be a different kind of victory for Trump, but still a victory for Trump.
Yes. Here are the numbers, 512-836-0590. Also, regarding UT Austin, it was a relatively quiet day today. They did have some protests at the South Lawn area, but it was nothing like yesterday. There no arrest today, right?
And none that I've seen reported, and they said that there were just about a dozen officers that were on hand to kind of oversee everything, and they were only out there for a couple of hours today.
And of the 57 people arrested yesterday, charges have been dropped in 46 of those cases by Travis County Attorney Delia Garza. She put out a statement saying that the arresting law enforcement did not have probable cause to arrest these people. And that's why she's dropping the charges.
Which is kind of crazy to me, because the charges were for criminal trespass. And the university had warned this group that that would be the case if they carried through, and they did. So, but apparently she decided that there wasn't much there, dropped those cases, And I think we saw earlier, too, that 26 that were arrested, they're not affiliated with the university in any manner, which means they're part of that national organization that's been putting these different protests together at all these campuses.
Yes. The Palestine Solidarity Committee, which has been doing things nationally, mm-hmm. and that was specifically cited by UT in their letter to that group days before what happened yesterday, saying, you're not affiliated with UT. You do not have permission to come on this campus and try to take our property.
And
take
we're
it
not
over.
Going to allow you to do yes. what you've done to other campuses.
You can join the discussion on that topic as well, 512-836-0590. One note related to that, USC, the University of Southern California, also had some protests yesterday, and now they said today, we're just totally canceling the big commencement ceremony that we have every year for graduates. We're just not going to have it.
Such a shame. Those individuals worked hard to have that instead of saying we will carry on with our graduation ceremony like we do every graduation time, and anyone who comes to disrupt it, you will be met by law enforcement and escorted off or even arrested.
Very poor decision by USC. All right, let's go to Alan on KLBJ with Mark and Melinda, 535. Good afternoon, Alan. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing okay. On this whole impeachment and criminal prosecution of presidents, impeachment is the mechanism by which you deal with a president that's broken the law. Okay, you don't come after a president with some rogue prosecutor after he's already out of office. What President Nixon did was not impeachable. President Nixon had nothing to do with the break-in at the Democratic National Headquarters. He was run out of office because he was dragging his feet in presenting evidence to the Democrat commission that was investigating.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Let's go to Mike on KLBJ 536. Hello, Mike. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you guys are doing well also.
Yes.
So Alan kind of grazed over the topic that I'd mentioned to your producer. You know, a lot of your previous callers are comparing actual crimes that previous administration holders defined crimes, right? Like with the Nixon situation, you know, with the erasing of tapes and the break-in, those are defined crimes. At this point, as far as I understand, Trump is not actually he's been quote unquote indicted for something that is not really defined. They're saying it's election interference, but what he did has not really, it's not defined in the law as election interference. They're trying to, they haven't even proved that in court. So,
well, two of the four counts in the special counsel's case are based on the Enron law. And that's being challenged as well.
Yeah, which is not really applicable either.
So right? where do you come down, Mike? Let's just take it away from Trump and let's think about the presidency overall going into the future. Do we?
Well, obviously there are crimes. You know, when an individual commits a felony or a misdemeanor, let's say a Class A misdemeanor, which are high crimes, obviously you're not, you know, this decision that the Supreme Court is reviewing is not saying that somehow a president is going to get away with committing an actual crime. That is, what they're trying to determine is that the actions that a president takes cannot be accused of being a crime because, you know, obviously this is politically based.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Have a good evening. Let's go to Stephen on KLBJ. Hey, Stephen, welcome. How are you?
Greetings. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm
welcome.
Doing well. I'm just trying to figure out a way to hold the students accountable, and I think they have a 10 o'clock curfew tonight. And if any student is arrested after 10 o'clock, one, you will be expelled from the university, and two, you will not be allowed to register for the new two semesters. That way they can think about what they're doing instead of just going blindly with their friends to participate in something.
Now, I didn't see the 10 o'clock curfew.
Where
was that reported, Stephen?
I thought I heard that on the show here that the president had said that you're supposed to be off of the campus at 10 o'clock tonight.
We'll double check on that.
We'll double check and see.
But, you know, if they would do that up in Columbia, and they would do that out in USC and anywhere else they're doing it, I said, okay, if you're arrested and you're a student, you're expelled, you get a zero for your final grade. And if that doesn't fail you, then you pass. If you don't, then you did fail. And then you can't come back for two semesters. And see if that will keep the wannabe protesters out of there.
Well, that's what DeSantis announced today in Florida. He had a news conference, and he said, our policy will be what Stephen just outlined. You will be expelled, and you will never be allowed readmission to a public university.
Well, that was in one of the memos that went out on Tuesday before this happened, that you are risking a chance of being expelled. Whether or not UT goes through and finds out who these individuals are, the ones that got arrested and expels them, I don't know. And he didn't put on there about the you can't re-register, or we won't allow you to be a student here at UT any longer for any other semesters.
Yep. Well, I thought I had a novel idea, but evidently I didn't catch that part of the news. I want to thank you all so very much. By the way, I am a bus driver.
Yes.
And you might want to find it ironic. I cannot move that bus unless I have a seatbelt on.
Okay.
And my bus doesn't have seatbelts, and most of them don't.
Do you carry the really young students, Stephen, on your school bus?
My school bus is pre-K, and I also have a senior in high school.
Now,
hold on. All pre-K, and then a senior in high school is on there with them?
I have all grade levels on my bus.
Oh, okay, okay.
That I take home.
Okay, I was a little confused. I was like, you have all 4 and 5 year olds, and then one high school. Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
How do the 4 and 5 year olds do riding without a seatbelt on, Stephen?
About as good as you expect. I see feet up in the air.
Oh.
I see kids on the floor, constantly telling them to sit. Of course, trying to talk to the person behind them. And so, a seatbelt would solve a whole lot of problems, but it's not law yet.
Is there any bullying that goes on your school bus?
I can't talk about that. But yes, there is.
Okay, I got you. Stephen, you have a good evening, sir. Thank you.
I want to thank also very much for the program y'all do.
Oh,
y'all have a great afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
it's our
you
pleasure.
Too.
Thank you, Stephen. 512-836-0590. We'll get more of your comments in here just ahead. It's Mark and Melinda, News Radio, KLBJ.
And now back to the Mark and Melinda Show, streaming live on the News Radio KLBJ app.
Happy to have you with us. If you're just touching base, we're discussing the U.S. Supreme Court and the oral arguments today on former President Trump arguing that all presidents should enjoy immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts that they conduct while in office. We're also talking about the protest at UT Austin and around the country. And this is a local story from CBS Austin. A woman is now suing an Austin apartment complex. She says they ignored her multiple requests for over a year to fix the sliding glass door on the back of her apartment unit. And
well, I was going to say, and my understanding is that's part of the contract, if you want to call it a contract, that you have with the apartment, is they have to upkeep with the maintenance part of this. She says she's been telling them for a year that this door was broken, and they never came and fixed it.
And a bad guy came in and sexually assaulted her in her bed in her apartment. Her attorney for this lawsuit is Anna Greenberg. Here she is talking with CBS Austin.
This case is about a company's failure to repair a broken lock that's required by the property code. Here in this case, we had two tenants, my client and her roommate, who repeatedly reported that this backdoor lock was broken. And the company, the property management company, did nothing to fix it.
Yeah, the contention is this resident asked for a year to get it fixed. And it was not fixed over the course of the year. And then they say that allowed the bad guy to get in and sexually assault this woman.
To me, it sounds like the lawsuit's more about them violating the property code, which they absolutely have a suit on. Does it add more that there was a crime committed because the door was still broken? I would think so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that seems to be the case. Here is the victim. They're not naming her in this report on CBS Austin. She describes what happened when the bad guy got in.
I just started screaming, and I remember having to like curl up in a ball and put my knees to my chest and put my feet on his chest and just push with everything I had.
And she says she kept kicking and pushing and got him to stop, and he ended up running away, running out of the apartment.
Thankfully, police were able to identify, find him, and arrest him. And it sounds like he had been targeting other women to attempt the same thing.
Yes. APD says this guy is a peeping Tom. We caught him in the act at a nearby apartment complex. So we'd like to hear your thoughts on the case, 512-836-0590. Do you think she's going to win her case? This is a lawsuit against the apartment complex. They're filing this lawsuit saying repeatedly she had asked for them to fix that sliding glass door so she could lock it.
Yeah, I think if they have the documentation that shows that they were requesting it and the apartment complex denied, ignored, however that went about, absolutely there is a case here.
Yeah, that seems like a big deal to me. If I'm the apartment manager getting that complaint, I would want to get that fixed as soon as possible. If we can't get a guy out there to fix it that day, let's get a piece of wood or steel or something so that door will not slide at all.
Yeah, I can remember having a sliding glass door, and I had a big wooden dowel that stayed there just as extra.
Backup, yes. I don't
backup.
Blame you.
The least they could have done is say, okay, until we can get in there, here's what we suggest you do, or even give her the material to do that until they were able to get in there and get it fixed.
This resident has a roommate, so there were actually two of them living in this apartment. And they decided to stay there for a year without the ability to lock that sliding glass door. I wish they had made a different decision.
Yeah.
Move out.
Demand that you fix this or you're not getting rent.
Yes.
On their own, come up with some kind of solution.
Let's go to Joy at 549 on KLBJ. Hello, Joy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, Joy. Thank you. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just think, bless their hearts, they're young, but if somebody's not going to fix the lock on your door, you don't compromise your own safety because somebody else won't do what they're supposed to do. You can go buy a doorknob at Home Depot and watch a YouTube video. It's cheap. It's easy. You know, or you put a stick in the sliding glass door, and there's all kinds of things you can get to take care of your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to just go sue everybody just because, I mean, granted, I know they should, I'm 100% landlords should fix the things that are broken, but a whole year you went without locking your door for a year? Come on. I mean, like, take some self-responsibility and fix your own stuff. That's how I feel.
Well, it is hard to believe that they went mm-hmm. a year with that thing not being able to get locked. That's quite astonishing. Now, if you were on a jury, would you rule against them or in favor of them in their lawsuit?
I would rule against them. I'm a renter, and I know that there are going to be things that are not going to be fixed, and I'm not going to compromise my safety waiting on somebody else to do anything for me. I would never do that. I would never leave a window unlocked. I mean, you can get a broomstick and put it in your sliding glass door. You can, there's all kinds of things that you can do to help yourself, and I think people have to learn that there's just certain things that you don't compromise yourself on. And I mean, that's just what you do. You got to take care of yourself. You got to look out for yourself.
Why do you think we have people right now who don't know they can take responsibility for their own safety? And the last line of defense is themselves, mm-hmm. their own actions and decisions. Why do we have people that don't seem to understand that, Joy?
I am trying to figure that out. I am just trying to figure that out. Why would anybody live in a house that's unsafe or toxic or whatever? Like, go fix it. I mean, that's part of living. I don't know why they don't understand that. I really don't know why. But I don't know, maybe they need some classes in school or something. But to tell them how to do life skills, that would be helpful. You know, teach basic maintenance on a home. Because so many kids get out of school and they don't. I mean, I didn't know how to change a doorknob. Now, just because when I rent a place, I want to change out all the doorknobs and make it look cute. But I had to learn how to do that. And I think that learning life skills in school would be a great start for these young people getting out of high school and not knowing how to change a doorknob or not knowing how to change the oil in their car. We just don't teach life skills, and I think that would be helpful.
Thank you, Joy. You have a nice evening. 512-836-0590.
Well, and I'm trying to think about family. If my family knew at all that I was in a place that didn't have a lock on it, they would be there fixing it. They would be, okay, you're not staying there anymore. But I don't want to put it on these women. Yes, I wish they would have come up with a solution while they were waiting. But if I were on this jury, if this landlord for sure got all of these notices and did nothing, I would rule for them against the landlord mm-hmm. who broke the property code.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you would hope these two women would understand now, I can be independent.
Right.
I can be responsible. I can be self-sufficient. I can be strong. I don't have to wait for somebody else to ride to the rescue.
Yeah, and even in the, where it said in here that they had asked if they could put a safety bar. I don't know if they were asking the apartment complex to put it on there or if they were talking about themselves, but they said that the request was denied and they would have to do it at their own expense. Do it. Even if it is, you know, trying to scrape up the money, you ask your family, I'm sure they would say yes. What can we do? And if the apartment tries to come back and say, well, you owe us for doing something that you're not allowed to do, I'd be like, well, you're not getting any money because you didn't do what you were supposed to do either.
Steve, quick comment, please. Welcome. Steve in Dripping Springs, welcome. Quick comment, please.
Nope.
All right. I guess not.
That was super quick. You didn't even hear it.
That'll do it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here every weekday, Mark and Melinda, live and local, 2 to 6. Thank you, Trey and Tiger. Have a wonderful evening. The news is next.
Dr. Mark Malone from Advanced Pain Care on how the spinal cord stimulator blocks pain signals, bringing patients relief at last.
And we're able to tune this device to mimic that frequency and essentially block it. I've seen people shed tears of joy in the recovery room when they wake up from their light anesthesia and we turn this device on and they realize their back pain is gone. They cry for joy.
Advanced Pain Care at 512-244-4272 or AustinPainDoctor.com.